Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday in our study of James chapter 1, we finished verse 12. Today we will be starting with verses 13 through 16.
Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
My feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. The Bible stands like a mountain towering far above the works of man. Its truth by none ever was refuted, and destroyed it they never can.
This is your radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom, welcoming you to another Lamp and Light broadcast. Today we'll be looking at James chapter 1, verses 13 through 16, and we have titled this section, Dealing with Sinful Temptation. Do you have sinful temptation? Are there things that tempt you? Well, you're not normal if there aren't any temptations in your life, my friend. They are out there. And so we want to look at dealing with sinful temptations. Ask your friends to listen into our Lamp and Light broadcast. I believe that this message would be a big help to many Christians. We use the King James Bible. I trust that you'll have one out and ready to follow along. I hope you'll also have pencil and paper and take notes. I trust now that your Bibles are open and you're ready to follow along with us. James chapter 1, verses 13 through 16 reads, Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Well, here we have this warning concerning sinful temptation. Now, verse 13 is quick to point out that we are not tempted of God. The first 12 verses of this chapter of James dealt with temptations and trials. We have seen that we are to count it all joy when we have diverse temptations. We are told how they build patience, and that there is a crown of life for those who endure temptations. So, why now does God tell us, or does James say to us, don't blame God for your temptations? Well, trials are testings on the outside, and sometimes they are temptations on the inside. Trials may be tests sent by God, or they can be temptations sent by Satan and encouraged by our own sinful nature. Well, verse 13 and following is now looking at that which may be a temptation that originates with Satan. That which comes from God is designed to draw out our graces, not our corruptions. These tests may be a serious and perhaps incurable illness. There may be a loss of property. There may be separation from loved ones. Maybe your kids grow up and they get jobs that takes them out of state, maybe out of the country. There may be quarreling or misunderstandings that have grown to very harsh words and wounded spirits. It may be failure, defeat, disappointment, or distress. It may be a wayward child or an unfaithful mate. And James dealt with that in the first 12 verses. Verse 13 here of James chapter 1 is teaching us about the impeccability of God. But verse 14 shows us the contrast with man. Man is depraved because man has a sinful nature. God is too holy to be tempted to sin, and he is too loving to tempt others to sin. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 tells us that Jesus Christ was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Satan calculated wrong when he thought that Jesus the man could be enticed to sin. Think about how the devil tried to entice Jesus to sin. He tried bread. Now, friend, nothing is wrong with bread. He tempted him by challenging him to trust God. And certainly there is nothing wrong with trusting God when he told him to jump from the pinnacle of the temple and the angels would catch him. Then he tempted him to serve God by ruling over kingdoms. And there's nothing wrong with that. Although it would be wrong to worship Satan just one time. And he says, to bow down and worship me, to worship Satan, and he would not. But for the most part, what we see of Satan's temptations of Jesus Christ, Jesus was tempted to do things that were not improper, with the exception of the worship of Satan. However, Jesus would not do them because they were not in the will of the Father to do them. Satan tried. But the prince of this world had nothing in him. You and I can be tempted to do things that are immoral, selfish, or just plain sinful. But Jesus could never be tempted in that matter. Do not miss, however, that doing good with the right intention can be wrong. If it's not God's will for you, it's wrong. That is why you must seek the Lord daily. Paul the Apostle was on a mission trip, and he was going to, in one direction with the idea of winning souls to Christ, planting churches. But then came the Macedonian call, where he was called to go westward. Now, my friend, had he continued eastward, that would have been a good work, a good right intention, but it would have been out of God's will. That, again, is why we seek the Lord daily. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 7, we read this. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. A purpose in the first coming of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, was to give us an example to emulate, not all moral involvement is God's will for me. I must do God's will for me. The virgin birth of Jesus Christ is important because it means he did not have a sin nature. God doesn't tempt us to sin. It is we who turn occasions of testings into temptation. If we're not careful, testings on the outside may become temptations on the inside. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Man is drawn away of his own lust. And before the fall of man, man was capable of immortality. He was given only one restriction. That involved not eating of either of the two trees that were placed in the midst of the garden. There were many things that he could eat of. There were many trees that he could eat of, but just two, trees, he was told, and that was the only restriction that he was given, was not to eat of those two trees. Adam had a free choice. When he was tempted to sin, he sinned in willful disobedience. Now, friend, Adam was both the federal and the organic representative of the human race. In Romans 6:23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death." That's final, complete separation from God forever in the lake of fire. In Romans 5:12, it says, "Wherefore, by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death has passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." You see, with Adam being both our federal and organic representative, death fastened itself upon every one of his descendants, which is all of the human race. Now, since the Lord Jesus Christ was virgin-born, this sinful nature was not inherited by him. In Luke 1:35, we read, "And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." And hallelujah for that. Now, notice verse 14 back in James 1. "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed." Every man is drawn away of his own lust because we have a sin nature that draws us away. We inherited that from Adam. But in Jesus Christ, he did not have a sin nature that would draw him away. Man is drawn away of his own lust. Lust has the idea of not only desire, but a desire that is faulty, sinful, or evil. Going back to Hebrews 4 and verse 15. We know that he was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. That means he was tempted in all points as we are, apart from indwelling sin. Satan, scribes, and the Pharisees each solicited him to sin. But he did not submit to speak wrongly or to act wrongly, because he could not. He revolted against sin, and he rejected every offer to commit sin, because there was nothing carnal in him that could respond to temptation. His temptations never sprang, as in our case, from sinful desire. There was no sinful desire on his part. The temptations and enticements from without left his sinless nature undisturbed and unscarred. The temptation of Christ in the wilderness tried the physical side, bread, the mental side, trust, as he was at the pinnacle of the temple, and then the spiritual side, to worship Satan. But you see, Jesus is impeccable. Now, by the impeccability of Christ, we mean that not only did he not sin, but my friend, he could not sin. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, May God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.